Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
To our mates at King G, welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrub.
And great to have your company for this 3 hours this afternoon. Plenty ahead of us. Very exciting to welcome back Ryan Girdler. Mark Geyer, MG, is with us. My name's Tony Squires, and Brent Reed isn't here, but I think for all for the better.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, that's every second week, Tony.
I know, it's every second week.
We shouldn't even mention him the times that he's not here.
Now, that's a good, that's something.
Just move on past him.
Okay, all right. So, I just don't mention the name. All right. I can mention the name of the man who's here. Michael Chamis is with us. G'day, buddy.
Tony, welcome, how are you, mate?
Very, very well, thank you. And you're showing great commitment because not only are you doing the show, you're then hairing away immediately for a wedding.
Yeah, across the road, St Mary's Cathedral, doubling up at Hyde Park. That's commitment. That's the only reason I'm here, to be honest. It made sense to save some money on the way through. Maybe I'll just take Triple M, can pay for the parking all day. It'll be great.
Parking, maybe a couple of tiles and, you know, you're sorted.
Is it a black tie event? What's the story?
Oh, I got actually a big argument this morning with the missus. She wasn't happy with the suit that I picked.
Mm-hmm.
Do your missus tell you to get dressed, pick your outfits a lot earlier than the 10 minutes before you leave the house? Because I'm pretty happy just to pick my outfit as I leave.
As you go, yeah.
What was wrong with it?
Well, she just didn't think that it was formal enough. I was got a blue suit.
How many suits do you have?
Oh, plenty.
To choose from at home?
Probably about 7 or 8.
Do you?
Well, how many do you have?
4?
Oh, one.
Come on.
Well, no, that's not true. To be honest, I had to steal my suits from Fox.
Well, he has wardrobe.
That's true. You have your own wardrobe department.
Wardrobe, and get somebody over to do makeup as well, and then away you go. You feel good. How many suits have you got, Gerds?
I don't know. I haven't counted how many suits I've had, but as soon as I get home, it's the first thing I'm going to do. I can't believe everyone knows how many suits they've got.
I've got one.
Okay, there you go. That shouldn't take too long.
One MG, that's all you've got.
That's all I've got. Okay. Yeah, and I only bought it recently to go to a wedding. I don't usually wear suits that often.
No.
I used to wear them a lot. In my playing day to go to the judiciary, that's for the Dragons. That's one for the Eels.
That's okay. A lucky one. Only got 6 weeks with that one on.
That is the best. Hey, MG, did you see Gal's fight during the week?
I loved it. Yeah. I loved it. That was fantastic. It was a great look. It was great. Boxing in Australia is back, thanks to one man. Paul Gallen's been a self-promoter, a juggernaut of the boxing scene, and I just think he held himself beautifully. 9 rounds against a guy about to go to the Olympics, where in the Olympics, it's all about, you know, points. So I think Justice will, inadvertently, Gallen might have helped Justice Hooney secure a gold medal with that, you know, lead up for that. That was a great warm-up match for the Olympics.
What, just standing in front of him and allow him to punch him in the head for 10 rounds?
it was like that bit of meat in the locker when Rocky was hitting it.
Like Homer Simpson.
His ticker? What about his heart? My goodness.
Well, that was the only bit he couldn't belt. He's a great salesman, isn't he, Gal? He plays that kind of pantomime villain, but does it so convincingly that he'd believe, you know, that by the end of it, we thought he actually genuinely hated Justice Hooney.
Well, it's what Origin's lacking. We miss Gal, we miss Greg Bird, Watmo, Josh McGuire. They used to get into him. I think that's what we're missing. Everyone just wants to talk each other up, just get the hate back. And Gal was the best at it. Whether it was pretend or not, it just added so much theatre to Origin, and he does it so well with boxing as well.
Yeah, he is a brilliant operator, and he has that charisma of sports people that, even though it doesn't kind of look like he would, he walked out. Just wearing a white T-shirt out to the ring like he was, you know, a guy in a caravan park going to the amenities block.
No fuss, no fanfare. As long as he gets the sponsors out there, he's happy, Gal. But that's exactly right. There's not a lot of self-promoters that can do what he does. Yeah. That are articulate enough, you know, that have come through, that can... It's all well and good to have your manager speak for you and, you know, try and generate a little bit of interest in the contest. But he did it all himself. And look, I think... Justice Hooney, and we spoke about this on Thursday night on the Thursday night call. It was a big risk from Hooney as well, because I mean, even though a lot of people in Australia and outside of the boxing world didn't really know who Justice was, he's a world-renowned fighter with a reputation, and he's 3 weeks out from the Olympics. So if something was to happen in that fight, and he knew he was going to hit Gal a lot, and Gal's got, you know, a thick head and big elbows, and, you know, he was always going to be, you know, punched and punched in probably all different positions, and he rolled the dice, but thankfully he didn't come out with any injuries, and as MG said, he's probably in good shape now for the Olympics.
Should that be it, MG, for the big fella? Should he
no
just,
way.
No way.
Really?
No way. Every 6 months, I want to, at least for the next 2 years. So I think once he hits maybe 42, that's it. That'd be it. I think he can handle it. I think I'd like to see a couple of prize fights each year, maybe another one of the Barry Hall, maybe Sonny Bill Williams, maybe a Junior Paulo, who knows? But I think the interest is there. We love seeing it. I think whoever Gal fights next, I'd like to see what the pay-per-view was. I'd be interested to see where it rates as far as, you know, boxing matches go over the last 10 years, because I think a lot of people got it. I think a lot of people bought it from Main Event or from KO. So, yeah, it was a...
Yeah, I threw like $50 at the problem. I certainly
Well, did. I threw $50 last week at that friggin' Logan Paul and Mayweather.
Oh, no, my
goodness, what a waste of $50.
But how many people around the world must there have been to feed $150 million payday for those two guys, whereas Gal White, he walks away with over $1 million, which is phenomenal for him.
That's awesome.
So I guess he will be keen to come back in. But a lot of league players are doing it. And Justice Hooney, I think, on his next fight, wants to have it. There was talking about Jason Tamalolo, saying he's interested in having a fight. Brandon Smith, Junior Paulo, as you mentioned, Aidan Fanua Blake. So there's a few guys who obviously aren't getting their fill of being hit in the head in rugby league anymore. So
not according to Peter Villain. He wants to stop them from boxing in the off season as well. He said that Friday. Yeah, there was suggesting that they should focus on rugby league and not worry about getting hits to the head in the off season. Yeah, so
wow,
you just didn't implement anything or stop them because
what are they? 12-ounce gloves, Mick? Like really? They've got headgears. They've got 12-ounce gloves. I mean, MMA wear 4-ounce gloves, and they do damage. But I don't think these boxing gloves that the footy players use would do any damage. It's the ones I used the other night were maybe 8, Justice and Paul Gallen, but. Let them fight. Let them have fun. I love watching it.
I know you do. All right, we'll get to rugby league very shortly. The Panthers and the Roosters. Look at that tyre power scoreboard. 38 points to 12. The Panthers far too good in the end after being behind 12-0. Once they got into the swing of things, they were once again awesome. We'll get there next. We are also going to speak with Jerome Luai. Reddy will deliver his mail as well. Sturlo joins us at 2 o'clock. It's all happening on the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
Triple M's Saturday Scrum for King G. Pushing the limits in comfort, technology and design.
Tyre power scoreboard tells me the Panthers 38 over the Roosters 12. Of course, Penrith coming off the back of two consecutive defeats without their State of Origin stars. They haven't been beaten at Bluebet Stadium, for a couple of years now, I think it is, since they've tasted defeat out there. And looked at the start, though, Gerds. The Roosters got away to, I think, a 12-0 start, and it was a while before they kind of got back into the swing of things, the Panthers.
Yeah, got a little bit nervous there, really, after coming off those last couple of wins, and they just made some uncharacteristic errors in the first 15 or 20 minutes. And the Roosters, well, I mean, they've still got a lot of injuries, and we know how depleted they are, but they've just got quality players, and they've always got a great attitude. So you know if you give them opportunities, they're going to take them, and that's exactly what they did early in the contest. But as soon as Penrith sort of clicked into gear, and it started with the first time they had the football in the opposition half, and Nathan Cleary puts through that sublime little sort of kick in behind on an early play for Crichton to run around the rest of the Roosters' defence and score that one. And then from that, I don't think the Roosters had the ball for the next 20 minutes. It was almost half time again, and they just must have felt like they'd started the game and then didn't have it, just got suffocated out of the back end of that first half. And then the Panthers just went on with it in the second half, and the confidence that Yo, Cleary, Luai and To'o and Martin, who was really good as well, brought back from Origin, was evident. It was there for everyone to see, and they did it easy in the end.
MG, Nathan Cleary has taken ownership of this footy team. He took ownership of the Blues, but haven't seen a lot better games of footy from him than that one.
No, you're right, Tone. He's clearly in the zone. And when you're in the zone, you just step back and let him do his thing. And that's exactly what the Penrith players are doing at the moment. Obviously, there was a turning point in that match last night, the 23rd minute, when Tucky Ahau got Simbin quite controversially. Even Ivan Cleary came out in the press conference and said as much. And then Penrith, that's how damaging a Symbian is these days. 14 points they scored while he was off. You know, it's and these Symbiannings, they're not consistent. They're just not consistent. And I can understand the grievances of fans. That's all people are talking about to me. That's all people want to talk about, the inconsistencies of the Symbianing. And this, I don't know the answers because I'm not, you know, I'm just an ex-footballer with who gets paid to have an opinion. But my opinion is that something's broke. And we need to fix it quick because we're seeing so much. We saw it in the Cowboys game with the Sharks. That tackle on Tolman, come on, man. Really? I understand it. We all understand, you know, going down that track as protecting our footballers. We all understand it. But at what cost? I mean, what cost to the product? Because we're getting a lot of disillusioned people and we've got to fix it. It's the best game in the world for a reason because it's physical. Got to have a lot of skill to play it, but some of these rulings are costing teams games, and when that happens, Houston, we have a problem.
All right, well, since we're there, let's go to Trent Robinson and hear what he had to say about the Tokiaho incident.
I don't know where Siwa was supposed to go. You know, is he supposed to jump out of the way? Is he, you know, I'm interested in what was he supposed to do? Ashley was fine with it, and then, you know, the bunker decides to sort of jump in. Again, you know, we've gone back to now we've got two referees on field again. We wanted to get away from it. Now they've jumped back in, and Ashley knew. He looked at it on the replay and said, you know, and then they said, no, you've got to send him off. You know, well, I'm interested what like physically what could have Siwa, what did you want him to do there? What movement would you have liked him to do there? And I think the NRL needs to explain what happens in those incidences. You know, what do they want them to do? I'd be interested to know.
All right.
Well, I don't know how anyone in that bunker couldn't see that it was an accident. We all watched it and thought there is nothing he can do to get. And as Trent Robinson said, what's he supposed to do? His hand wasn't even in a position where it was going to hit him high. It was by his side. And I think there are people at the NRL frustrated that this isn't being enforced the right way because I think there's an understanding that if it's an accident, penalty put on, report play on. He only got a $1,500 fine, Tokiaho. He's not missing any games of football, and he was sent to the bin. If you're sent to the bin, you need to be missing games of football. And I think later in the
That's a good point. That's a great point, Mick. Good point.
It's just there was nothing he can do. And later in the game, Egan Butcher on Nathan Cleary. I think we can understand if that went to the bin. He had every opportunity to hit him low, and he hit him high. That was a decision. Tokiaho had no decision there, and that's the frustration. And it happened against the Titans a couple of weeks ago. If you've got nowhere to go, what's supposed to happen there? Put it on report. Penalty, if that's what we're going to cop a penalty, then fair enough. Let's just move on.
Let it be dealt with at the end of the game or through the week. And we saw another incident in the Robson, in the Cowboys game as well. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And that's what the NRL need to ask themselves. Are we going to penalise players for being in the wrong place at the wrong time? Because effectively, that's all they are.
But victims just playing of the devil's position advocate,
that they find themselves in.
No matter where the head is, whether it's 6 foot or, you know, 2 foot, that's not allowed. That's the bit that you can't hit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hit your head, doesn't matter whether it's down near the ground. Is that still not what the NRL is trying to wipe out of the game? But what did Reece Robson? He got nothing though, did he?
No.
He got no penalty post game. He got sin-binned at a very, very crucial time.
I think, you know, we've had a couple of really high profile matches in the last couple of weeks, and with the Origin, with the Cole Felt thing, you know, he came in off his wing and had time to pick a target and hit Cam Murray high after he passed the ball. Now, they're the incidents we want to get out of the game, and absolutely nothing happened. In the last two instances, and especially in that game last night, the game was on the line at that point in the 23rd minute, as MG said, you got two top four sides going at each other. It looked like it was going to be one of those games that was going to go down to the wire. It didn't turn out that way. And you've got a guy that's just, you know, in a situation where someone falls over in front of him and slips, and he doesn't have time to change where he's at, and then the team gets penalised for 10 minutes and it changes, you know, the momentum in the game substantially. That's the inconsistencies I think people are really concerned about. Why didn't something happen to Felt, who had a time and a choice to go and make a better decision, when all of a sudden you're going to penalise a guy for just being in the wrong place at the wrong time?
People don't want to. The people who are arguing about these rules and how they're being interpreted at the moment, they don't want to see high tackles. That's not what we're saying. We really missed the high tackle. That's not what's going on. It is the inconsistency, MG, isn't it? It's what's going and how it is affecting games of rugby league fundamentally.
100%, Tone. 100%. And look, I think there's something like 70% of head knocks that are occurred from either A, the defender, going in, putting his head in the wrong spot and getting a hip or an elbow, or B, friendly fire when two teammates collide. There's only 30% that are actually happening from high hits. And I know that's probably 30% too much, but sometimes in rugby league, when you've got 110 kilo forward running at another 110 kilo forward, and all of a sudden his feet go from under him, the 110 kilo forward's not going to, he can't just snap his fingers and disappear. We've got to kind of have a feel for the situation. And that, at the moment, we haven't. At the moment, it's kind of, it's knee jerk. And as Robbo said in that press conference, I love one referee. I don't ever want to go back to two referees. But the fact that the bunker's coming in now on nearly every, you know, inverted commas, incident, well, we might as well have two referees back on the field because it's stopping the game. It's stopping the game to go back three or four tackles to have a look at something. Come on.
But the bunker in that situation last night, Tony, has the opportunity to get that right.
Yeah.
That's the problem. They can come
That's
in.
It.
They've got the time. They've got the different angles. They can use what's been allocated to them to make a better decision. They're getting it wrong.
Well, but they're working under whatever rules and instructions they've been handed to in terms of this crackdown. So if it's contact with the head and deemed forceful, then it's like they've got their hands tied and that's a sin bin offence.
That's where Trent Robinson's right. There needs to be an edict come down. If there is absolutely nothing that you can do about the contact that's been made, then the maximum penalty is maximum enforcement is a penalty. It cannot be going to the sin bin if there is nothing you can do about it. And that needs to come from Graham Annesley this weekend because they're the ones we're all blowing up about. The accidental contact, you've got no option but to make contact with. And we'll cop the other hits. You're right, Gerds. The Kyle Fell hit to Cameron Murray. That was 10 in the bin. And if it wasn't, that was the opportunity for the NRL to reset the bar and say, okay, this is the way we're going forward now. But they've just gone backwards. And it's like, okay, well, you're going to referee Origin differently then. So it's a bit confusing at the moment. I think the system is right and the decision-making in the bunker is wrong.
The Boyd Cordner retirement and press conference at the beginning of the week was incredibly emotional, and he stands out as just one of the great blokes of the game. And it's so sad that brilliant career, was cut short at 29 years of age. It had to be. But for him to be kind of then painted as the poster boy for this crackdown is also wrong, given that he admits a lot of it was, like Wade Graham has talked about, tackling technique and, you know, being hit with some bloke in the hip as you're tackling, rather than it be attack on the head.
Well, look at them. Look at Jake Friend. Look at Boyd Cordner. Look at Wade Graham. The three men we're talking about, most of their HIAs or most of their head knocks came from their own defensive technique deficiencies. It wasn't from, you know, getting hit high. It wasn't from a cheap shot around the head. Like Pappenhausen, and we had the result from that. When that happened in Magic Round, when Fui Maiano hit Pappenhausen, that's a send-off in any era. I don't think we see one of them a year, if you know, maybe two a year. And I know that, you know, they should be sent off and they should be, you know, made examples of. And then players won't, you know, they'll probably try and regroup themselves when they're, and a lot of this, we spoke to Boyd Cordner through the week and he said a lot of his head knocks came when he was fatigued. And now the game's got even faster. Well, you can't have both. You can't have a fast game and implement different rules on the spot as we go and then expect the players to adhere to everything that we want. They're human beings. Stop doing weights then. Stop making them bigger. Stop doing gym work and then it might lessen the impact. But do we want that? Stop doing sprint training, say you're not as fast. Do we want that? No. We want to see rugby league players at their premium best. And accidents are going to happen in any sport, especially rugby league. We've got to get that through our heads. It's an accident. We can tell when people do it on purpose. Get rid of them blokes for 10 minutes or send them off. But that don't happen very often when blokes actually do it. Takeo last night, his arm was by his side. There was no force in that. Come on, we've got to get it right. We've got to get it right, and we will get it right, I know, but at the moment there's teething problems, and these teething problems are really frustrating. They really are.
More than teething problems at the Broncos. What is going on there? That's next Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Tony Squires, Brian Girdler, Mark Guy, Michael Chamis with you on this Saturday afternoon, just filling in the hours until Mick goes off to the wedding. We were talking about the Panthers too good for the Roosters, 38-12, although the shape of the game did change with that sin binning of Tokiaho. A couple of things, just in terms of news, Jake Dravojevic is out of State of Origin 2.
Yeah, big blow for New South Wales. Freddie revealed that last night, that he has a hip injury. He shouldn't be out of game 3, but that opens the door, if it wasn't already open, for Angus Crichton to return to the New South Wales team. So they got enough coverage there. Jake played in the front row for game 1. So you'd imagine Junior Paulo or Payne Haas would start, and then that opens the door for Angus Crichton potentially on the bench or even a start.
And he was good last night until we've talked about the Panthers. What about the Roosters and their performance? Crichton was good?
Yeah, I think he didn't, with limited opportunity. His effort's always good. He was good defensively. He didn't get a lot of opportunities with the football, and he's a great runner of the ball. But look, I thought they some of the fundamentals they got wrong last night. They pushed some passes. They made a couple of errors off the kickoff and whatever. They put themselves under pressure, which is un-Rooster-like. And it's just the constant threat of Penrith when they've got the football, and how much fatigue that puts into your footy side. They go from one side of the field to the other. And there's so many moving parts. Honestly, I thought the Roosters, they just ran the Roosters into the ground last night. And by the time they sort of got any good ball or any got to parts of the field where they could capitalise, Penrith's defence then just kicks in. So it was a pretty complete performance by Penrith. And the Roosters, with so many different key personnel out, Victor Radley, well, still a couple of weeks away there. He's the kind of player in those big games that the Roosters really need. And Sam Williams obviously pulled out sort of before the game. So they had to sort of rejig their back line, which didn't help at all. But they were brave, but just not clinical enough.
Are they gone, Goods? Can't win the comp, Roosters?
I don't think they can win the comp, no. I don't like writing them off, but just given the situation, the circumstances of their season, yeah, I think it'd be a huge effort if they got deep into the finals.
Yeah, they seem to have one injury or one retirement too many, don't they? Eight of their top line players out last night, and they still put up a brave effort. Rua Hargraves, another fantastic game after his 250th last week against the Titans in a belter as well. But yeah, you're right. Both the boys are right. They seem to be limping into finals footy. If they make finals footy, I don't think they're going to make much of a dent.
Jared Warrior Hargreaves, he'd played the last two games a full 80 minutes, and I think he played 50-odd before he came off for his first break. He's a machine. He's getting on, but he's a machine, isn't he?
He's a marvel. He reminds me of a lot of, you know, Sammy Burgess, same type of player. They just give all their heart when they play. It's all effort, and they can play out. They've got great motors. Hargraves just defies the odds. Every time, you know, there's a new rule change coming in, you think, okay, well, blokes like him are going to struggle because the game's getting faster, but he just adapts. He's a phenomenal front row. He's one of the best that's played our game, and for a reason. He's just a beast.
Can I just, we speak about Trent Robinson often in terms of his coaching ability and what he does with those guys on the field. It's also the way he deals with problems off the field. The Victor Radley thing this week with inability or getting kicked off the flight. Just talking to him about growing up and being a man and his responsibility. I wasn't there for the dressing down, but it was as you'd expect from Trent Robinson, that it was pitched perfectly.
Yeah, and I think Trent Robinson's timed this in the past really well. You remember what Jake Friend was like, and the conversations that Trent Robinson had with Jake Friend turned his career around. And we look at what Jake Friend achieved on and off the field over the last 7 or 8 years. Radley's at the same point in his career, and there aren't any major misdemeanors or things that you'd think that are going to ruin his career. But he's at a point now where how serious is he going to take it? And if he's going to take it seriously, he'll be one of the best players in the game. And he almost is there, but he's cost the Roosters dearly this year. They needed him for most of the season, and he's been out.
All right, as we're talking about this game, one of the stars of the show, one of the been the star for most of this season, including his debut for the Blues, I'm, of course, talking about Jerome Luai, and he joins us right here, right now. G'day, Jerome.
Hey, boys, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Congratulations. It's been a hectic couple of weeks for you. How are you feeling after that win last night?
Yeah, feeling really good. You know, it was important for us Origin boys to come back and, give a bit of energy to the boys. Obviously, they were a bit disappointed from their last two results, so we just wanted to come back, do our job, and get a good win in front of our home crowd.
Jerome, was that the plan? Did Ivan let you know that after the first game he was going to rest you for the club footy and then come back into that second round, or was that a bit of a surprise that you guys had to sit down last week?
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise for some of us. He left it right up till you know, the last couple of days. So some of us were pretty sweet to play, but obviously he's the coach and he's got a plan in place, and you know, worked out pretty well for us last night.
Romy, with Origin, when you go into Origin, they say that you come out a better player and everything seems slower on the footy field. How was your experience playing last Wednesday and then coming back playing club footy? Did you feel like last night that everything was a lot more easier to read because of the fact you played Origin in such a fast contest the week before?
A little bit. I think, you know, Origin's definitely, you know, you get so hyped for it, and it's obviously the biggest, one of the biggest arenas you can really play in. At NRL stage, so just to come back and share my experiences with the other boys who weren't there, it's obviously a blessing for me and the boys. But, you know, being able to play with someone like Nath, he's such in control now of his game and the way he plays, it just rubs off on the whole team. So yeah, it's pretty amazing the way he's playing.
Jerome, Michael Chammas here, mate. I spoke to your old man after you got picked for game one, and he spoke about a message he sent you. He said he texted you. It was a quite emotional message to let you know how proud he was of you and what you'd achieved. Apparently, you didn't reply, mate. Can you explain why? He was pretty upset about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty crap with replying, eh?
You make Origin and you think you're too good for your dad?
I don't even reply to my missus, I'm sorry. But yeah, I did read that text and, you know, I was tearing up, but I think he already knew that it hit home. But yeah, I know he's got my full support and he was there anyway, so I seen him like the next day or something, but yeah, that text hit home for me, so yeah, I probably should have replied. He snitched on me.
Slipping on that Blues jersey, the expectation of anybody making a debut in that kind of atmosphere is that there's going to be nerves. It didn't appear to be the case for you, but was there really? How were you feeling in your gut that night?
Before the game?
Yeah.
I was pretty sweet, eh? You know, Nath asked me when we were out on the field, just looking around. He's like, "How are you feeling?" And I was like, "Frick, man, I've felt like I've never been so ready." So that's all he pretty much said. He's like, "Yeah, sweet, let's go, bro." I just enjoyed the week, and you know, I have my best mates there, so but I don't think there was no real reason to be nervous. Just soak it all in and have some fun out there with the boys.
How do you compare the feeling before last Wednesday's night's game as compared to the one before last year's grand final? Did you feel ready in the grand final, or was it a different feeling of confidence last Wednesday?
It was a similar feeling, just because, you know, we had a good run last year up towards the GF and we hadn't lost many games. So I was as confident as ever in that grand final as I was last week. So I'm sure the other boys are feeling that way. But once again, you know, after Origin, you know, I feel like, as MG said, the game's slowing down a bit, and we can obviously see a lot more out there. So, you know, it's good to experience that with a lot of the Penrith boys.
Well, yesterday's Telegraph, you were voted one of the 10 sexiest men in the league, baby. What's going down there?
Yes, sir.
That's correct, eyebrows, baby.
Because I do our eyebrows once a week at Mountie.
Were you filthy that Joey Manu was named number one, though?
Nah. I'm pretty stoked to be in the top 10 or whatever it was. Like.
Top five. Don't say yourself five, short. Top five.
Top five. I'm cutting myself short. There. Yeah.
Going to be a statue of you at Mount Jewel Shopping Centre. Plot the plot.
Surely.
Surely, baby.
Hey, just tell me, going into camp, and it's that confidence thing, and we spoke to Jake Trbojevic last week and other guys from the team, just saying what you and Brian brought to the camp in terms of energy and just a sense of fun. But when you've got that boom box, did you go into camp and go, look, is anybody else here who wants to be in charge of the music, or you're all okay with me doing the job?
I think we switched it up a bit. Like, we play some R&B, we've got some country in there as well for the boys. To keep everyone happy, so we make sure we mix it up a bit for the boys.
He takes requests.
Yeah, 100%. You have to ask too, like every 10 minutes, so I've got a request.
So it's not like the debutants just put their toe in the water. I mean, you guys went into camp and you made some noise, yeah?
Yeah. You know, I think it was important that we just went in there and just be yourselves sort of thing. So, yeah, I'm glad the boys got around it and Yeah, we love being in camp with the boys.
Hey, Jerome, there was a photo during the week of you standing over Felice Kaufusi where you were pumped up, and some people took offence to it. Obviously, a lot of New South Welshmen said it was great to see the passion. I'm sure you saw the photo. What was your take on that, and what happened in that moment?
I think it was after Junes' carry, off the kickoff, and he left a few boys scattered on the ground. And I think that photo that was taken was a bit of a memory bank moment for me, because when I was down injured a couple of plays before that, you know, they were spraying me on the ground. So it sort of woke me up a bit. And, you know, when I seen them on the ground, I had to get them back. So, yeah, I just go out there every game that I play and I want to wear my heart on my sleeve. So, yeah, it was a you know, just a passionate moment for me.
You're doing the job really
awesome, baby.
As is that man, the number seven next to you. Last night, he was remarkable again, Nathan Cleary.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm saying the same thing every week about him and the way he's playing. He's just getting better and better. You know, we were under a bit of pressure last night at the start of the game, but, you know, we just got into our rhythm and Nath put ball to boot and just kicked him off the park, I think, and gave us the momentum we needed to, you know, perform the way we did. So, yeah, he's definitely a big factor in why we're doing so well.
As are you. Congratulations on all that you've achieved so far this season. Well, mate, continue, including obviously that top five spot in the hottest NRL players of 2021.
Let's get number three next time, baby. Let's get number three.
Well played. Thanks for the chat.
See you, champion.
Appreciate it.
Good to see you, boys.
See you. Jerome Luai.
When we were with Jakey Trbojevic last week, he said that these guys, and I forgot to ask him then, but I didn't want to kind of embarrass him. He said these Penrith boys just come in and they're the best blokes we've ever met.
Yeah,
and that's from a bloke who's played, you know, 15 Origins. He's come in and, as he said, he didn't change. They didn't change. That's exactly what they've been doing with Penrith, and they do the exact same with New South Wales, and it shows. It shows that they've got no, you know, baggage. They're just ready to play footy. It's great.
Indeed, well played, Jerome Luai. This is the Saturday Scrum. We do it thanks to King G.
Triple M Saturday Scrub for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
MG Girds, Michael Chambers, Tony Squires with you on a Saturday afternoon, 46-0. That was that sad scoreboard. Looking at the Tyre Power scoreboard for the Broncos. The South Sydney Rabbitohs, far too good, and another alarming performance for Kevin Walters and all at the Broncos. There's talk now of a whole huge investigation. We know that Tabita Pangai Jr. I was told that he was going to go. In fact, the story kind of broke during or at the beginning of the play. Brent Reid, who we'll speak to a little bit later for his mail, we'll get to the bottom of that. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, look, some people are probably asking, should it have happened at the start of the year? Like, did you not see enough in 2020 to suggest that the problems were going to continue? Now, Kevin Walters, look, I know he's inherited the problem, but he was confident of turning around. We're 15 weeks in, and some people are saying they're worse than what they were the year before Brisbane. So Pangai Jr. is the first major casualty. He'll move on, and I think you'll find that the Tigers are probably in the box seat at the moment to snare Pangai Jr., whether it's this year or next year. But the question has to be asked, is there enough faith in Kevin Walters to turn this around? Because it is a huge job. And we've seen with clubs, once you get stuck in a rut and you can't get yourself in a winning situation, it can take 4 or 5 years to recover, and Brisbane can't afford that. And I don't know, and this is the question, if Kevy Walters has the experience and the knack to get Brisbane out of this hole, good.
Well, he doesn't have the experience because he's had some assistant roles before, and I think he's had you know, the main role over in France. But that was always going to be the question. I mean,
and
reputation, reputation and achievements for the organisation are going to get you so far, but buy you a certain amount of time. But he needs to get some results.
Yeah, I keep feeling sorry for him. I love Kevy. I love everything about him. But at the moment, just looking at his face after each game, he's like the bloke who's fallen overboard and is getting further and further away from the boat every time you look at his face.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah, exactly. It's a tough predicament for a man who has the job he's yearned for all his life, the dream coming true, becoming a nightmare before our very eyes.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for, Kevy, because as Chamo said, the rebuild will take at least 3 years. Dave Donahue is the right man for the job. I think his arrival since in May has systematically gone through every facet of the rugby league club and found that there's changes needed. Peter Nolan, the head of football, is the first head that's gone. I expect more to happen, but it's all about Adam Reynolds. I thought would be a little bit of a catalyst for players wanting to go there, and we're hearing now that Hodgson is from Raiders has said he doesn't want to go there. We're hearing that maybe they're after Capewell or Jaden Sewer. They need a dummy half. They really need a dummy half. Turpin gives 100% effort, but effort doesn't get you results. And they're Carmichael Hunt was a desperate ploy. We all give him a round of applause for trying his hardest to help a club who's struggling. But surely there's a 20 or 21 year old kid in the system that you could put in to blood him at least. So decisions like that kind of make me scratch my head and think, well, I think they're in a worse position than last year. You take out that one win this year against the Roosters, every other game is really bad. They pushed Penrith when they played them last, but you kind of know before the game they're going to lose, and that's a really awful place to be in, especially when it's one of the most powerful clubs that we've had in the last 20 years.
How would Goods Adam Reynolds be feeling? He's playing against them last night and going, that's me next year.
Yeah, it would have been, I'd imagine, pretty confronting for him. Adam Reynolds is going to do a great job in Brisbane, but he's not going to do it off the back foot, and he's not going to be do it all on his own. And if people think that he's going to go up there and fix their problems, they're a long way off the reality of the situation. I mean, he's going to be great for the back end of their sets, and he's going to organise and get that team around. But if they're not winning, or at least competing in the battle through the middle of the field, and they haven't got other people around him that can, work on try assists and help him in that regard, he's not a miracle maker. And at the moment, when you talk about the comparisons to last year they still had Walsh on their books. Last year they still had Coates on their books. Like some of that recruitment and retention, some of the planning around that, I know they've brought Reynolds in, but who else could they have there with Reynolds if things were done differently at the back end of last year? And I know Dave wasn't there, for a period and hasn't had a lot of time to get his feet under the desk, but, the operation was still working, and some of the players that they've let go and some of the players they haven't been able to retain and some of the players they haven't been able to actually recruit are an indication of exactly where the club's at the moment.
How on earth did they let Reece Walsh go?
Oh, wow.
Who was sitting there thinking, you can go now as well, not just at the end of the year, you can go now. Like, I just, some of the decisions at that club, and people are paying the price for it now, just, left you scratching your head.
Yeah, we can hear what Kevin Walters had to say about some of the decisions.
No real reason why Tevita. It's just, we've got to restructure our roster. Not everyone can stay, so that's why. The salary cap, certainly comes into play with it all, most definitely. We came up with a decision, and there'll be more decisions to come as well, because clearly we're not in a good place at the moment, and things need to change. Look, everyone's had 15 weeks to prove themselves and their value on the football field. Yeah, we're all under the microscope, not just players, coaches, performance staff, everyone's in the firing line.
Yep, they're all under the microscope.
I don't even think that helps Kevy's cause. Like, no real reason why Tevita. Like, you're the coach of the club.
Yeah, you've got to be more transparent, don't you?
You're letting go your $850,000 forward. Like,
yeah.
Well, that's why. It must be salary cap pressure. They must be trying to ease the cap.
Yeah, but we can all see Tevita, he's good one week, not good the next. Like, I think you need to come out and say these guys need to be held accountable. The performances aren't good enough. You can't just say we're letting go. We need to let go of bloke so you're gone. Like, I just feel like Kevy, and I feel sorry for him in this situation. He just, I don't know if he knows what the answers are, and he's 15 weeks in and looking like a long, long way.
How long did they give him, Chummer? You reckon? How long did the Broncos persevere with Kevy? I know he signed, a 3-year deal, did he?
Well, how can you not persevere with him? Like, they signed him, and a lot of people, the criticism at the time was they signed Kevy because the board and the club felt they needed to get the old boys off their back. And whether that's true or not, only they will know. But the talk was the knives were out for Anthony Seibold, and the way to get everyone on the same page was to hire their favourite, and that was Kevy Walters. Now, we all know he didn't have the experience, and if the situation was so bad, was it the right decision for the club to hire Kevy, or was it the right decision for the people in charge to just silence the noise that was happening because it was deafening last year.
Yeah. All right, we'll get Reedy's take on that with his mail in about 10, 15 minutes. What did your beautiful wife catcher put in the soup?
I don't know. I don't know, but it, like I was always joking on something in there before. It's like a bone broth.
I had to give him the Heimlich.
It's a bone broth.
Yeah, it's heavy.
But that's actually with bones rather than just the broth you've got there.
Yeah, little ones.
little tiny ones.
Yeah, she actually asked before she gave me the soup if I'd paid my latest premium for my life insurance. I said, off you go. Best of luck. Don't drink it all at once.
The quiz is next on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum. The King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, nice to have your company on a Saturday, Arbo. My name's Tony Squiler. I'm with Ryan Girdler, Mark Geyer, and Michael Chamis, and it is time for this.
Welcome to Tony's Spotting Quiz.
Gemma, I'm not sure if you've done the sporting quiz.
Haven't had the privilege.
No. Okay, how are you with in the quiz kind environment?
Look, if I can't cheat, I'm not going to be very good. Is there any answer somewhere? It's the Arab in me, mate. I have the answers,
and I have the questions. And what you'll be doing, this is very much a straight up and down sporting quiz today, all right? And you just have to use your names as your buzzers. If you could check those for me, please.
Chamis, Michael, something.
Ryan.
So now you have to say Chamis, Michael, something.
Okay, we'll
that's
go
your
with that.
Buzzer. That's what you've just buzzed.
Very rugby league, okay. Three
what
names.
Did you say? Ryan.
Yeah.
MG?
It's my name.
MG can't hear us.
Oh, okay. Of course.
How convenient.
He's pulled out.
How very convenient. All right. Okay. It's a quiz in two. All right. You're ready. Question number one. Who was voted, MG, can you hear us now?
No.
Who was voted the hottest NRL star of 2021?
Chamis.
Yes, Chamis.
Yes. Joey Manu.
Joey Manu is correct.
Shouldn't be correct. I think it's Sean Johnson.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, what about Reece Walsh?
He's too young.
He's 18.
Yeah, but okay. I'm 30-something. Not that.
Hang on a second.
Not that my wife would appreciate me sitting here talking about who I'm. Anyway, let's go.
No, he's a very good-looking dude, no doubt about it. Question number two. South's owner, Russell Crowe, announced he'll set up a film studio in which city?
MG.
Yes, MG. Can you hear us now, MG?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay, we'll answer the question.
He's back in. Do you know the answer to that?
I didn't answer. I didn't say I did.
What was the question?
Russell Crowe announced he'll set up a film studio in which city?
Coffs Harbour.
Correct. Who broke a world record at the Australian Swimming Olympic Trials?
Ooh.
A world record.
We're all over this.
Kayleigh McEwen in the 100-metre backstroke. Yeah. Speaking of Olympics, what did Paul Gallen say he wanted to do to Justice Hooney's dream?
Ryan.
Yes, Ryan.
Make it not come true.
Correct. He wanted to break him, his face, his arm, anything, so we would miss the Olympics. It was a great moment.
Oh, yeah.
Who plays in tonight's first A-League semi-final?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Have you got a good answer?
No.
Sydney and MacArthur.
Sydney FC and Adelaide. You guys
MacArthur
plays tomorrow against Melbourne City. City and MacArthur.
I should get half a point for getting that.
Yeah, okay. The World Test Championship is underway in England. What was the story from the first day?
The what, sorry?
The World Test Cricket Championship.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
They're playing cricket.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Story was rain.
We're professionals.
Wasn't it?
We're watching.
Story was rain, MG. It was washed out. Now this is a multiple choice question, okay. What is the missing letter from this famous band? A C blank C.
Chamis.
Yes, Chamis.
D.
D. Okay, let me look at the multiple choice. I was gonna say A, B, B, C, C, D, and D, A. Oh. You went for D. D is A, that would make it A C A C. That's incorrect. That's the best question
that's
I've
good.
Ever
that's
written.
Good.
Yeah. The answer is C because the option is D. All right.
Did you write that while you're having a glass of red last night?
Yeah,
or two.
I did. It was just after I've been led to the head bin. Who leads the US Open Golf?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. And you don't have an answer, do
no,
you?
I don't.
There's no point to say, yes, that's a good question.
No, it is a good question. I don't know the answer. That's
yeah, Russell Henley. Who kicked a goal after the siren to win Geelong's game against the Bulldogs last night?
Yep, another good one.
You guys.
Well, a little bit of notice would have been. I just rocked up today. I would have watched things last night. I got six children at home.
A little bit of notice.
When did this become a sporting quiz and not just a rugby league-based quiz?
Yes.
Yeah, I know, this time around.
Yeah. This time around.
And finally.
Time. What was the answer to the Geelong?
Gary Rowan.
Rowan Rosie.
Yeah, former Sydney Swans player.
Wow.
Question number 10. Euro. I'll take you to Euro 2021. What was the score between England and Scotland overnight?
No. I think I got in then.
Now you want to answer?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, Ryan.
Nil all.
Nil all, and if the game was still going, it would be nil all. That's how hopeless that one was. That was brilliant quiz. I think quizzes were the winner.
Was a nil all in that as well?
No, it was -3, played -2, and at -1 because you didn't get to answer any of the first questions. MG, you are the winner of the quiz. Reedy's Mail is next. Saturday Scrum, doing it for King G.
Triple M's Saturday Scrum for King G. Pushing the limits in comfort, technology and design. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.